Podtacular episode 416, Steamed Halo, for March 27th, 2014. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And this week we have some more news regarding future Halo projects, well, a little bit. And we have some interesting developments in terms of where Halo is actually landing up on different platforms. All that and bulletin news is coming, but Brent, you're back on the show after some unfortunate mishap last week, which... we still haven't quite worked out the bugs, but it's good to have you back on the show.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I might sound a little weird, so just get ready for that. It probably isn't too obnoxious, but...
Nah.
Yeah, it's still there. We'll try to fix it by next week's show.
Yeah, we're gonna do some post-magic, so for everyone listening to this after the fact, hopefully you won't hear too much of the buzz that's going on with the microphone. He may sound a little hollow because of the noise cancellation, but hopefully we get most of that taken care of, and then next week we'll have something a little bit better. And definitely after PAX, we'll have hopefully a pretty decent setup. I'm hoping to get a lot of that in preparation for our big Halo 5 discussions coming. For those of you who were here last week or have listened to our previous episode, we did a podcast on Titanfall and what we can take away from Titanfall to apply it to Halo. And we had a 3-hour discussion with APK and Justin Bryce from Drunken Halo. APK kind of is more around the Beyond Entertainment side of things, but both of them were on. We had some very good discussions, enough so that we had a 3-hour show. So for those of you who actually like our shows to be long, you had a very good opportunity to, I guess, endure one of those. I don't know if we should feel sorry or if we should feel happy for our listeners. I know some people like the shorter episodes and some like the longer ones, but for topics that we get heavily into, the longer ones usually generate a lot of good discussions and debates. So go over and listen to that one, especially if you are like me and love Titanfall. Brent, unfortunately you didn't get Titanfall this week, but hopefully you'll get it next week.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. If I get it, I'll probably rent it. So, I'm not going to own it, but it should be fun while I play it, you know?
It's a lot of fun.
Also, I need to get around to renting Halo CE Anniversary. Never actually played that.
Really?
Played the original Halo on Xbox, but I didn't play the Anniversary Edition, so that'll be fun.
There were sales on that, I think, for $20 for digital download at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking, I don't know if I want to just go ahead and get it, because it's discount price now, but it's also discount price for a rental. I think it's only... $3 for a week-long rental.
Oh, that's not too bad.
For some of the older stuff, so.
And it's, do you already have the map pack?
3 years old?
Yeah, that came out in 2011, so.
Yeah, 3 years.
2.5 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It has. Do you have the map, the anniversary map pack? I can't remember if I gave you a code or not. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty sure I got that one. Yeah.
So at least you have the multiplayer in the campaign. You can just go and play that for the week that you have it. So yeah, that's cool. Get the achievements for that as well. Those achievements actually aren't too hard to get. It's pretty easy to 100% that game.
I haven't seen the achievements. Like, what's the hardest one?
I think the hardest one is on the library. I can't remember what it is exactly. I think it's like finish the library in under 20 minutes on legendary difficulty.
Be like the worst 20 minutes of your life. Just repeat it over and over again.
There's some pretty nasty ones, but if you have played the Halo campaign and you know it by heart, they're not that hard to get.
Oh yeah, I'm just saying I didn't like the library. Not that it would be especially
hard. No one
hard,
liked the library. Just, no one liked that one.
Just a lot of repetition, you know? Especially after, you know, the Halo single player, like the geometry around the single player campaign was always kind of open-ended. You know, you could go wherever you wanted, fight from different positions, but the library was just a very straightforward, repetitious...
Yeah, all four levels you had to go through.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as far as the game announcement, we have Spartan Assault coming to the Steam platform. It's only on Windows still. It's not something that they're actually being able to convert to Linux or Mac. But it's interesting that Microsoft has taken this avenue to branch out to another platform, another game-selling system. And it kind of is hearkening back to a rumor that came out, I believe, last year. Someone posted on NeoGAF or the Steam forums where they noticed something from a Steam update that occurred, that there were listings in there for Halo, Halo 2, and Halo 3. And there's a lot of speculation of whether or not Halo was coming to the Steam platform, especially Halo 3 being released on the PC. Now, for the most part, a lot of people kind of took a step back and it's like, they're probably just placeholders. So for people that have Halo 1 and Halo 2, if you add it to your custom games library, it'll show up with some content. But the strange thing was that there was Halo 3 listed in there. Now, for that, a lot of people assumed that was just kind of a placeholder, just in case it happened. There was no official announcement to say that Halo 3 was coming. And during, let's see, it was Halo Fest. Was it Halo Fest or the year after?
No. I think it was Halo Fest.
That was when they initially announced Halo 4, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they said at the time that they weren't working on any PC-related titles. And since then, we've seen that's different now with Spartan Assault. But it does beg the question whether or not Halo 3 would be coming to the PC and what that experience would be like. Now, if it's anything like the Halo 2 anniversary experience, then it's going to have a horrible adoption rate. It's going to not do as well, even though for Halo 2, Halo 2 was such a great game, but the way that they implemented the system for matchmaking, and you had to have Vista at the time, which a lot of people didn't really like Vista. It was just kind of a mix of bad things being thrown into this experience. So hopefully with Windows 7 or maybe Windows 9, because they've already announced that Halo 3 would come out on one of those platforms and be a real push there. And if they do it right, where it's more kind of a straight conversion over instead of some of the funky stuff that they ended up doing with Halo 2 Vista, then I think it would be picked up a little bit more from the PC gaming community.
Yep.
But that's kind of a long shot in the dark because of Microsoft's intent to keep Halo going on the console platform to really help push those sales. I think in terms of revenue, though, it would be a pretty good idea on Microsoft's part to make Halo 3 for Windows. And if you look at it, it's not huge. It's definitely not as huge as maybe a Team Fortress community or a Counter-Strike community, but there is a core community within the Halo PC gaming side that's still there. There's still people that make custom maps for Halo CE. That's still going strong. So it's definitely possible to develop Halo 3 for the PC and look at making those custom tools again, because there's been plenty of mods out there, and the game is so old that I don't think Microsoft would really care to have Halo 3 on PC and have people mod it and just do their own kind of servers. Like, if they didn't decide to host official servers and just had the community do them, I don't think there would be too much of an issue. They'd have to code in some anti-cheat stuff for servers that would want that kind of thing. But if they have the dev time going to it, and I think that's kind of the biggest issue standing in the way, is having people to work on a branch of Halo 3 and spending the money to do that. But if I think they did that, it would be beneficial in the long run.
Oh, yeah. I think they'd make a little bit of money, but I think Microsoft just isn't interested in ventures that take, you know, a little bit of time, but don't give you a large amount of return on investment. And I'm not saying that they wouldn't get any return, but I just don't see a huge number of people running out to buy Halo 3 on PC. If you were interested in Halo 3, I mean, you got your fill on Xbox 360. I mean, it's free on Xbox 360. I mean, it was for that 1 month.
Yeah. Well, for 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what?
And another question that got brought up in the chat, which is a good point, but is whether or not people are actually really looking for Halo 3 to come to PC. And I think for people that do PC gaming and Xbox gaming and really do enjoy the PC experience more than the Xbox, but they play Xbox because of something like Halo, I think those people are looking forward to having Halo 3 someday come on the PC. I would love to see Halo 3 come to the PC, personally.
Yeah.
I think Halo 2 may be a stumbling block in that because of how much people didn't really adopt that. And I think the biggest factor to that was that it was required Vista. Yeah.
Vista.
And I hope they don't continue the trend of pushing OSs based on Halo games, because they did that with Halo 2 Vista, and they did that with Spartan Assault. And it kind of seems like they're taking a hint from people, and they're putting it out on the Steam platform. So Spartan Assault will be available on Windows Vista, Windows 7, and Windows 8 through Steam. And it's what people have been, or some people have been kind of asking for. It's like, if it's on Windows 8, why can't it be on Windows 7?
Yeah.
And they're finally coming around to doing that. Now, how many people are going to adopt it on the Steam platform? I'm not exactly sure. But I know for people that are reluctant to upgrade to Windows 8, they're going to look at the Steam deal and get the Windows 7 version of Spartan Assault. Because I hardly doubt people are running Vista still. Or at least I hope not. If you're running Vista, people, upgrade to 7. It'll be worth your while and your money. But we'd also have to see for Halo 3 a custom edition. I think that would be a requirement if it were to come out on the PC platform.
Yeah.
That's where it's really going to drive the customer base, is being or giving the community the tools to make good maps, to not have to mod in maps and do the same kind of things that we were able to do with Halo Custom Edition and somewhat in Halo 2 Vista. Most of the tools are there, minus a few supporting things, but most people have come up with tools to help that. And all in all, the custom scene for Halo 2 Vista does exist, but it's a lot more prevalent on Halo 2, or not Halo 2, Halo CE.
Yeah.
Custom Edition.
I mean, is that ease of modding or just like lack of interest in Halo 2 Vista?
I think it's probably lack of interest. And there are some things that the PC tools, I think, I'd have to go back and check because it's been such a long time since I've even touched the custom side of it. I think there's some things that the tools in the Halo 2 Vista toolbox that's a little more limited than the toolbox in the Halo CE side of things, but it's still possible. But a lot of the custom maps that are made for Halo 2 Vista aren't that great. They're using textures that are built into the game. They don't have any new weapons and things. Most of the stuff in the customization tools for Halo 2 Vista was more or less making your maps. Nothing like making your own weapons, making your own vehicles, and that kind of thing. It was just making your own maps, which is still a good thing to have in there, being able to kind of show off talent. And there are a few gems within Halo 2 Vista, but the custom community on the PC side for Halo still really shines around Halo Custom Edition.
Which is convenient, because I have Halo Custom Edition on my PC that can run it now, so...
Yay!
Woo!
Yeah, there's some pretty cool maps. So, again, Spartan Assault is on Steam, so Steam is being infiltrated with Halo maybe slowly but surely. Maybe we'll see Halo 1 and Halo 2 hit the Steam platform. Although Halo 2 would be weird, because they're ending support for games for Windows, I believe, July 1st, so the whole matchmaking system would be rendered inoperable. From the server standpoint, I'd have to ask 343 for clarification and see if that's affected. See if people that are hosting servers on their own would still be kicked off, or if those free servers, those silver servers, would still be able to host games. Because that's how a lot of traditional first-person shooters with the server-based infrastructure works, is that you have some official servers, and then you have some servers that are run by the community, and there's no real one centralized location. And the centralization piece to Halo 2 is that there was a matchmaking system that would search through all the servers and put you in a game. And if that's the only thing that we're really losing, then it would be nice to see those servers still exist and an update be pushed out to Halo 2 to make it to where you don't have to be on live in order to log in. Because right now you have to log in with some kind of account in order to play Halo 2 Vista, which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
So
I can't talk real definitively on Halo 2 Vista because I haven't played it. at all.
That's it's cool.
So,
nah, no problem. So that's just some news. Seeing Halo enter in some other gaming platforms is a step that seems really anti-Microsoft. So it's just important to note. And it's nice to see that Halo Spartan Assault will be coming to platforms other than Windows 8. It'll be on Windows Vista and Windows 7 starting next week. So on the 5th? No. For the 4th. No, it is the 5th. Yeah, sorry. The 5th of April is when it's going to come out. On the next...
I was just going to say, do you think that possibly Halo Spartan Assault on Steam could bring a few PC gamers over onto the Xbox side just to play some Halo? Like, do you think that game is good enough that it could influence people to want to start playing the real Halo games, like the main franchise?
I doubt it. I would like to see it, but I think the only way that would happen is if Steam were to have a Halo CE or Halo PC. Halo PC or Halo 2 offered on the Steam platform, or if by some off chance or some whim of the imagination that Microsoft does decide to put Halo 3 on Steam, then I think it would help promote those kind of sales. But I don't think it would help promote people going from the PC side of Halo to the console side of Halo, especially when Spartan Assault is a top-down shooter and all the games on the Xbox platform, except for Halo Wars, is a first-person shooter. And a lot of people that do first-person shooters on PCs are not that likely to go to first-person shooters on consoles.
Well, considering the popularity of Halo PC, you know, compared to Halo 2 Vista, I think it'd be all right to see, like, a re-release of Halo PC come to Steam. Get people involved in that again. Like, bring it back at a discount price, like, $5-$10 maybe. 10 tops. I couldn't see paying more than 10 for...
Well, you can go out to to a store that hasn't buy it for $7.
Yeah,
you can probably go on Amazon and buy it for like $2.
I know, but just the convenience of Steam, you know, just it pops up on Steam. Yeah. Hey, it's $5. I have $5, you know, instead of going out to Burger King getting a Whopper, I'm just gonna get this. I mean, really, $5 on Steam always seems like a small amount of money until. You know, you get to 155 games in your inventory, you realize you spent $5 on all of them, or maybe a little less, and you're like, damn. Like,
Steam sales are evil.
Yeah.
They really, really are. It's a funny thing, though, with the whole PC platform in Halo. It's very, very disconnected with where the console generation is in the Halo universe and where it is on the PC. If you're a Halo fan, most likely you're an Xbox player. I think there are very few Halo fans that are pretty much sticking to the PC and just watching videos of the other games. I think that's probably a very, very small majority, or not majority, a very small population of the Halo community, if any, that are doing something like that.
Yeah.
But anyways, next topic that we have is nothing firm on a announcement for Halo 2 Anniversary, but there was an interview with Phil Spencer on a theoretical remake of Halo 2. So, according to the IGN article, Microsoft's Game Studios boss Phil Spencer had this to say for Halo 2 Anniversary release on Xbox One. In a fictitious world where that game existed, quote unquote, it's an easy answer. It has to be just the multiplayer experience that we found in that first Halo 2 game. If you think about what happened in the franchise and what were the hallmark moments, when did dual wielding come in? When did another playable character that wasn't Master Chief come in? All the things that you and I know about the evolution of the franchise, if you're going to say one thing about Halo 2, you're going to talk about real multiplayer. I think you just have to nail that in just a fundamentally core way. Frankly, probably better than we did with Halo 1 Anniversary. I thought the multiplayer in Halo 1 Anniversary was good, but Halo 1 never had multiplayer in the truest sense, so it's always going to be something different. If there were something called Halo 2 Anniversary, I think the multiplayer would have to be fantastic.
I've got an idea, Dusty.
What's your idea, Brent?
We just take all of the Halo 2 multiplayer maps, we up-res them, we put them in Halo 4's multiplayer system. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. There's a big split in the community with that, if you haven't noticed already. let's talk about that. No, it's a good topic to talk about, because there are some people in the community that want to see the straight conversion from Halo 2 to Halo 2 Anniversary just be the multiplayer, the system as it was, and be an HD upscale, maybe fix some of the map bugs, and be more or less a port or an update of the engine, rather than coding that experience or bringing that experience from Halo 2's platform onto Halo 4's platform. So that's one side of the coin, is just doing the straight port and then doing the up-res, like we saw with the Halo Anniversary campaign. Something that's pretty much like that, except you don't have the switch back and forth option, because that would be a bunch of additional resources that you would want for the actual matchmaking processing. But take that and put it into Halo 4, like they did with the multiplayer, with Anniversary to Reach, have those 7 maps in there. That's the other option. Now, a lot of people didn't like that. People were appreciated that they did remake some of the maps from Halo 1 and put them in Reach as playable. But when you're looking at an experience such as Halo 2, when it was really down to that core experience was Halo multiplayer, I mean, we had, 6 rec clans and 2 pro clans and an all-star clan for Podtacular back in the days of Halo 2?
I don't remember how many rec clans we had. We had, 4 or 5.
I thought we had rec A through F.
Yeah, we had the rec clans, we had Podtacular Pro A and Pro B, and then we had the Podtacular all-stars.
So look at that from the time of Halo 2. That's the multiplayer-driven experience of Halo. You put that into Halo 4... A lot of people aren't really going to bite on that because they want to see the experience and kind of feel how Halo 2 was back in the day with an updated graphics, with updated game mechanics, more stable networking infrastructure, all that stuff. And utilizing the power of the Xbox 360 or Xbox One, wherever they decide to put it. That's something that has to be done in the right way. And for everyone that I've seen on Twitter and Facebook post, the right way is to do that straight, pretty much upscale from Halo 2 to Halo 2 Anniversary. Not integrating anything into Halo 4. Go ahead and putting in the achievements for Halo 2. Like, probably do a copy paste of the Halo 2 Vista achievements into Halo 2 Anniversary. Maybe splash some new ones in there. But for the most part, people are expecting for the campaign and the multiplayer to go straight into its own experience, not integrated with Halo 4, and doing that up-res.
Well, this interview actually gives me a lot of hope for Halo 2 Anniversary. Because obviously he wouldn't, theorize on all this stuff unless there were something in the works. So obviously that's a good sign. I mean, Phil Spencer doesn't just waste his time talking about what might be, maybe, possibly, but not really. I mean, he's going to want to talk about things that are actually going to, be coming down the line. So that's good, but he's right. They shouldn't just take Halo 2 maps and put them into Halo 4. That doesn't work. I don't want to play Zanzibar with jetpacks and active camo for everybody. Like, that would be kind of lame.
Yeah.
Really, I just want Halo 2's multiplayer. I want it to look better. I want them to get rid of the glitches, the super jumps, the weapon glitches, all that stuff. Just give me Halo 2 multiplayer as I remember it back in 2004. But, 343's got to be terrified of that, right? Because what if you remake a game from the studio that wasn't you? I mean, that was a Bungie game. Halo 2 was definitely a Bungie game.
Well, they already did that with Halo 1, in a sense.
Yeah, but, I would be terrified that you would have Halo 2 with its own multiplayer that you go, and people are just going to stay in that and not go into Halo 5. Or they buy Halo 5, realize that they don't like the multiplayer there, and switch back over to Halo 2. So then it looks like your studio is just bad at making games. If a 10-year-old game from a different studio is pulling in more people to play multiplayer than your brand new game from your studio, then you got a problem, or at least you might think you got a problem.
Well,
kind of see what I'm saying?
But look at a little dose of reality right now. Halo 3 is pulling in more people than Halo 4. Or it was for a good month. I haven't checked the game numbers in a while, but when Halo 3 came out gold-free, for at least a good month, Halo 3 was hitting numbers higher than Halo 4. It's already been pointed out that Halo 4 isn't a great game in the eyes of the community. Now, from what I've heard a lot of people talk, and we've even mentioned this on our show before, is that people are looking to 343 to show something that they know what they're doing. And a Halo 2 anniversary in the way that the people want it is at least a good start to say, yes, we are hearing you guys. We do know that you guys want certain things, and we will do our best to accommodate those. So I think doing a Halo 2 anniversary in a way that the community wants is going to help reassure the community that 343 does have the community's best interest in mind. So at this point, it's more of a benefit. There's a lot more to gain than there is to lose, I think, with Halo 2 anniversary.
Yeah. And we'll hear more about it at E3, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll hear more about it then. Probably hear more a little about Halo 5. Hopefully hear more about the Halo Xbox One TV series as well.
Oh, yeah. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. We haven't heard anything about that since last year.
Yeah. Kind of makes me worry, you know, when you haven't heard about something for a long time. Like, are they just going to can it, you know? I mean, that's generally what happens when you don't hear about something.
It is Steven Spielberg, so he is pretty good at what he does.
Yeah, but I mean, even he's probably had projects that he canned because it just wasn't working out, or just, you know, I mean, things happen. That's not the exact phrasing, but
yeah,
you could just say that on our family-friendly podcast. Things happen.
Things happen. You know, yeah, exactly.
You know, good projects get canned all the time. Things that you're excited for, I mean, just happens, especially in video games. But this is a TV series, so it's a little bit different. It's even worse, though, because it's a TV series about a video game. And, like, I can see a TV executive saying, hey, really? I mean, are people really interested in stories in video games? I thought they were just into shooting people and getting high scores and stuff.
So, those people are idiots, because if you look at the population of the Halo community, there's a very good split between people that are there for the campaign and people that are there for the multiplayer.
Yeah,
there's
a very good split.
That's one of the reasons why the Halo community is so awesome. It's because there's a healthy split there within the community that has enjoyment across all of the features of Halo. Campaign, Forge, custom games, matchmaking, multiplayer, fan art, fan fiction, all that stuff. I mean, Halo is a vast universe, and it has a vast community to support it with a bunch of different avenues to really explore what Halo has to offer. I mean, look at all the different guest hosts we've had on the show. That just goes to prove how, in my opinion, how awesome the community is.
A lot of you, we both get that people love video game stories. I mean, I love stories in video games. That was why I loved playing Japanese role-playing games in the heyday of the SNES and the PlayStation 1. Because they had good stories. I mean, they weren't great stories if you go back. They're a little bit cheesy, but it was a pretty good story. You get invested in the characters. But there is an entire subset of people over like the age of 50 or even, you know, mid-40s that they grew up in a time when video games were, you know, bleeps and bloops and high scores and, you know, Pac-Man didn't ever, it had a story, kinda, but not really. Most video games didn't have a story back then, and that's what they remember, and nowadays they see the most popular video games being stuff like Call of Duty, and, I mean, multiplayer is where it's at. Multiplayer really doesn't have a story. I mean, it's starting to in new games, but traditionally, multiplayer didn't have a story in any game. I'm not saying that what they're thinking is right. I'm saying that I can totally see, like, some completely out of the loop, TV executive not understanding video games, and then they like bring the Halo TV series to him. He's like, "Well, what's this? Video gamers don't enjoy the stories. What do we do? Why are we spending money on this for?" Like, I could totally see, like, that's probably an exaggeration, but I could see that project getting canned, and they would cite lack of interest.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, there is the possibility of it, but if you look at how much money Microsoft's pouring into Halo, they're going to make sure that it's going to get done. I would have to think. So, anyways, Halo 2 Anniversary hopefully will be coming out this year, and with everyone is expecting or hoping for a Halo 5 beta with that. Something how they did with ODST, where if you got ODST, you were guaranteed an entry into the Reach beta when it came out. I think we'd probably see something like that.
The Forward Unto Dawn makes me really excited for the Halo TV series. I really enjoyed Forward Unto Dawn.
Forward Unto Dawn was good.
And that was good stuff.
I think they had the right amount of Chief in there, because you don't want to have something that focuses on the Chief too much, because you want to really focus that into the games. And you want supplemental stories to help fill out with the rest of the universe. So the books help really fill the gaps between the Halo stories, some more information behind the Halo universe. I think that's kind of a little bit of an exception here. Any kind of visual production from terms of the Master Chief story has to be really careful to not step over territory that's going to be included in the games. And I think, so this is an interesting debate that I've had with people for Halo, and I'll pose this to the chat as well. So if you guys have thoughts on here, definitely shoot them over to us. But what would be your ideal Halo movie if it were to come out? We've had this whole back and forth thing. It's like, oh, we have a Halo movie, and no, we don't. Would you want to see it primarily feature Chief? So maybe something like Chief during the Insurgency, or maybe a movie production of one of the books in between the games? Or would you want to see a Halo movie that's more focused on some more of the Halo universe side of things? So things behind the UNSC, things behind Oni, things behind the Covenant, or the Sangheili and the Arbiter. What would be kind of your preference for that? And if you want to send us a submission after you listen to this episode, do that as well, and we'll read them out on the show. To that point, though, before I start reading the stuff in the chat, is from me personally, I think a lot of the Halo fans want to see something that's not necessarily Master Chief, because they already get enough of that in the game. They want to experience the Master Chief story through their own eyes.
They want some Sarah Palmer. Yeah, more Palmer. More backstory for her. Let's get it.
I have a feeling we'll probably get that in the next Halo game.
Oh, you will.
Because there's been so much push to her to make her a primary character now, with Spartan Assault, with the comics. There's a lot of drive there. And then there's the other side of it, where I think people, if they want people to get interested in the movie, it would almost have to be a primary feature of the Chief. So there's this really weird balance that has to be taken into account if you were to do something like a movie. And maybe this TV show that's being produced by Steven Spielberg for Xbox One TV will be something that will maybe help prove that a Halo movie is definitely possible. Maybe get a feel for what people want with the TV series. And we'll have to see more information on, are they going to go more of the route of the Chief, or are they going to look at more of the external fiction to the games? I'm not reading that one. Child of Oblivion put in Halsey wants to see a little bit more of Halsey in there. I think that would be an interesting thing to go back and see some of the history of Halsey, how the Spartan program got started. That would be more or less a recap of the first book. Maybe fill out a lot more of the details in between when they were 6 years old and when they were 12, maybe that kind of thing. But that would almost be a book movie if you were going to focus on Halsey, I think.
Yep.
You
could have an entire scene where Miranda Keyes is conceived.
I don't think the Halo community really needs to see that.
No.
No. Mighty Sandwich, he said, don't go into Forerunner and Precursor stuff. I think that's a good notion for one of two reasons, or for two different reasons. One is a lot of the Forerunner stuff would really throw anyone that is trying to come and enjoy the franchise, it would throw them off, be like, what is this? This isn't something I recognize whatsoever. Be done with that. Another thing with the Forerunner stuff is a lot of people were kind of upset that we got to see so much of the Forerunner stuff in the Halo 4 campaign, and how a lot of that was held as a mystery from Halo 1 to Halo 3. It was a lot more opened up in Halo 4, which can be kind of a good and a bad thing in a way. It's a good thing in that you do get more revealed into what's in the universe of Halo, but it's a bad thing in a way where a lot of that mystery behind who the Forerunners was, who this kind of like semi-omnipotent race was that we had no idea what happened to them. It kind of blew that mystery out, and then it introduces more questions. And unfortunately, the questions that were generated were not really the better ones because of how much the campaign relied on people reading the books and people just not getting why certain things happened in the campaign.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the camp of wanting the Forerunners to be a mystery, but kind of late for that now. I feel like they should have fleshed out the Forerunners, but done a little more slowly, you know, not just throw everything at me in a book series prior to a single game, where basically, like, the entire mystery of the Forerunners, you just completely destroyed it. It's gone. We had four games worth of, you know, a pretty good mystery. I mean, each game gave you a little bit more insight into the Forerunners, just a little bit. The books did, but then Halo 4 comes out. It's like, everything you ever wanted to know about them, here it is.
Yeah, the books were the precursor to that, and then the game just kind of followed up with what the books were talking about.
Just kind of anticlimactic. If anything, they need to install a new mystery, you know, get started on that.
Well, we still have the precursors.
Yeah.
And the Flood will be making a comeback at some point. I just know it. It does make you question why they jumped in so quickly. Because of how the Forerunners were portrayed, you could have taken a lot more time to actually go and discover that information about the Forerunners. It didn't have to be all dropped in your face in one go with finding the Didact.
Yeah.
It was a very sudden info drop, and I think that's one of the reasons why people didn't like the campaign so much, is because it was a little more slower paced, it was a little more focusing on the difference between the Covenant and human race, and there's a lot that could be taken into a game right after Halo 3, and the way that they took it is not necessarily, I wouldn't say it's a bad one, it's the one that they chose, so it is their game after all, but it's one that leads a lot of people to question the reasons of why they did that.
I think 343 was so desperate to separate themselves from Bungie. They wanted people to know that we're not Bungie. We're making different games here. Same franchise, different style of games. This is a 343 game. And it worked.
Not necessarily in the right ways, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. Mighty Sandwich in the chat says, District 9 is the best Halo movie. I've actually still not seen that movie. I mean, I've seen the trailers and a few stuff on YouTube about it, but I haven't seen it. I know some people are probably hating on me for right now because I haven't seen it, but District 9 was supposed to be the Halo movie back in the days for people that remember. Who was the director behind that? Was it Peter
Blomkamp.
Moore? District 9.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I thought his last name was Blomkamp or something like that.
I'm going to throw that one up to the chat. So that was supposed to be the Halo movie, and it got turned down because no studio wanted to help make it. And then there's the whole... Oh, Neil Blomkamp. Okay, you were right. Way
Bulls
to go, Brent. So there was a time back in the Halo 3 days where there's this whole debate between should we have a Halo movie, should we not have a Halo movie because of what happened here. And then there's some people that's like, Avatar is the Halo movie. Because if you look at some of the aerial ships, they look like hornets. So there's that too. But enough talking about rumors and speculation. Let's move on over to the bulletin for this week.
It's my favorite part of the show.
Bulletin news. Is it now?
I love the Halo bulletin.
We need to get some audio bits. We need to have... if anyone in the community has some musical talent or wants to write a little kind of jingle or like intro type thing for us for different sections, like one for the bulletin, one for rumors and stuff like that, like kind of how they do over at Guardians of Destiny or Destiny Radio, let us know. We would like to see what you can do.
Can you record yourself reading the Halo bulletin in its entirety every single week?
I don't think we need
Would that get you in trouble, though?
I don't think so.
That'd be all right. I mean, think about it. Instead of having to read the bulletin, which is, you know, I mean, I like reading the bulletin because I can skimp over stuff that I don't really care about. But, I mean, imagine you're on the car ride home. You got, you know, the bulletin update in audio. You just listen to it. You know,
get well, updated. I think that's what we try to do here, though, is we try to bullet point the bulletin. That would make our show kind of pointless.
But I mean, we discuss the things that we read in the bulletin.
And that's the important part.
Just be a straight reading of it,
like an audiobook for the bulletin every week. Oh boy! So for this week's bulletin, they have a little bit recap from the pro matchup that they had on Monday. I unfortunately missed quite a bit of it. Did you watch it at all, Brent?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I caught the tail end of it, and to my surprise, the pro team at 343 actually won. So, I mean, go pro team. I guess I was expecting the. I don't know if you listened to last week's podcast, Brent, but we had a pretty much unanimous consensus where the community was going to be winning the matchup, and it turns out that the 343 pros that they've hired on knows their stuff. They know what's going on.
No, yeah, I mean that's a good thing. I actually like that. I like that the studio beat the fans, like the best of the best.
So it's interesting. I mean, good job to you guys.
I mean, to be fair, it was like the best of the best versus the best of the best, but.
Yeah, but if you look at some of the best over there,
if we had beat the community team, that would be something to talk about. Like,
I think the world of professional Halo would just kind of flip on its head and be like, "What the heck is going on here?
Who's the pros now?" but it is interesting. I really didn't see the results of any of these matches. Was it like a decisive victory or was it close? Like,
The last game was actually pretty decisive. There were some close moments in there, but they made a pretty good stand, and they did really well. The video on demand is actually up. It's linked on the bulletin. They actually streamed through the Xbox Twitch account instead of the Halo Waypoint account. And if you want to go watch it, there's a link in the bulletin. And it starts around 28 minutes for the last game, but it was pretty fun to watch. I was definitely not expecting it because I hadn't watched any of the games previously because I was out running errands, I believe, or something. And they managed to pull out a pretty solid game.
Cool.
Yep.
So I'm thinking maybe possibly with all of the talent they have in terms of understanding Halo multiplayer, that Halo 5 should be a much better game on the multiplayer side than Halo 4 was. I mean, I don't know. We haven't seen anything, but I'm just saying now that they have all of these pros, they understand Halo multiplayer. Like, if anybody understands it, it's them. So now they don't have any excuse for, you know, putting in what people would call, like, casual style.
Well, okay, so here's the one concern I have about hiring a bunch of Halo pros to iron out the multiplayer. It accounts for one specific community amongst the rest of the people that play multiplayer.
I don't think they're going to just ruin the entirety of multiplayer, though. It's like turn it all into team hardcore. Like, I mean, look.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen either. But you have to look at the facts where you're hiring a bunch of Halo pros. They're going to look at making the game a good core experience for the pro players, which is a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but you have to look at the other side of the community that plays multiplayer. A lot of the majority of the people that play a lot more casually. So, there's a balance between you have to have your social playlist and your social experience, and then you have to have your more competitive game types. And they really need to look at doing something that's along the lines of Halo 3 and Halo 2, where you had your ranked playlist and you have your social playlist. And your ranked playlist is where the pros can really come in, really fine-tune and tweak the core experience for Halo, really define that swing, that skill gap. And then you have to kind of massage it a little bit to get the other more casual people, the social playlists, integrated into that and make sure that both of those really mesh well.
Yeah.
So while it is a good thing that they hired the pros, and the pros are very good at picking out a lot of the finer details for multiplayer, they have to keep the mindset where we're not just working on a competitive title. We're working on a title that Halo fans and Halo audiences everywhere can enjoy and come pick up, and it's like, oh, this feels a lot more like Halo than Halo 4 did. I have full confidence that they're able to do that. It's just one of those things that I think some people would be a little apprehensive about, the fact that a lot of Halo pros are getting hired and not necessarily more of the casual side of things.
It just seems to me that, like, if you're going to have, you know, either one of those problems, hey, my game is too casual, or hey, my game is too competitive, like, it being too competitive is, you know, that sounds like a good thing, kind of. You know, this is too fair. This is too easy for people that are better at me than at this game to beat me.
Like, well, you have to look.
I mean,
I'm not even
talking about that though. I understand. Yeah, there are casual players out there, but the problem is, the largest majority of Halo multiplayer fans don't want it just completely, like, everybody, like, no, nothing on the map, just BR starts, no radar, and bumper jumper for everybody. Like, that's not what they want. But at the same time, they want a fair game. They want a game where if they lost, they can say, yeah, I lost because I'm just worse at this game than them. Or, hey, I won because I'm better at this game than them. I mean, it would be better to have a game that's, you know, too competitive, too fair, than it would be to have a game where just, you know, any jackass with a 360 controller can come on and beat, you know, somebody who's been playing for a decade and a half now.
Well, fairness, I would agree with. Competitive, not quite as much, because you have to look at people that are playing Halo these days. And I know when it comes to thinking about the core audience, they are looking for that more competitive edge, that skill gap that's a little bit wider than Halo currently is and that experience is currently providing, implementing things like the rank system, no loadouts, same weapon starts, all that stuff would be where I think the balance of the game comes into play. But you can't go too much to the side of focusing all on competitive. And if the competitive focus is really going to drive home that core audience, and that's going to help reassure people that Halo is a franchise that's still alive and kicking, and we'll be able to pull some more people back into it. But Microsoft's in it for the money. They're going to be tweaking the game in such a way where there's going to be some of those more social aspects to what first-person shooters have become to help entice the general gamer to come and buy Halo.
Yeah. I think you'll see a vastly expanded sort of customization system of some kind. Now, if it's just completely cosmetic, I'm fine with that. But, like, gameplay changes, that's where I see them going.
Right. It's a very tricky scale and balance. It's not something that you can just easily say, this is how it's going to be. This is how everyone's going to expect to play Halo. That's not how this is going to come down to it. It's going to be a lot of pinging from the competitive side and pinging from community members. And it's really where a Halo 5 beta is going to shine, is getting a good idea of where multiplayer needs to stand. And they need to get that out a little bit more early on to get a feel for what the community wants. And for the people that really care about Halo, they're still playing Halo 4 and Halo 3. If they care, they're going to want to enter into that beta and provide feedback. It's like, okay, I like this. I like the fact that you brought back this, but I didn't like that you kept this, and in from Halo 4. That's the most valuable feedback they're going to get. And Halo is still 343's game. It is technically their game. We're buying the experience that they are making. If we don't like the experience, then we shouldn't buy it. So as far as them wanting it to be successful, though, they will listen to the community and really aim to make that game something that is being cried and yelled out for.
Well, the community chose Team Snipers for the community choice poll, so I can't really trust the community. they're not to be trusted with gameplay decisions.
Well, compared to the other options, yeah.
I would have preferred neutral flag.
That's what I was going for, too. Which, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Snipers. I know some people that do like that kind of playlist, but as far as me, I would have picked Team Snipers as the last option out of those three.
Oh, God. The most frustrating thing in Halo is somebody who's just terribly good with the sniper on the opposing team.
And I mean, that's where skill cap really comes into play, though. If you look back at the days of Halo 2 on Coagulation, where people would just stand in the back with a sniper.
Yeah, I mean, there's ways to counter it, but it's just so frustrating when it happens. Like, I'm spawning, and then three steps away, somebody pops me in the head, then I respawn, another three steps, another pop in the head.
But if you think back to Halo 2, the most fun games you had, or at least for me, I don't know what your personal story is, but LAN parties where it would be like a 3 or 4 hour game of capture the flag. Three flags on Coagulation that would be 3 or 4 hours long. There were some of the most fun experiences I've ever had with Halo.
Oh, yeah. Coag's fun. I mean, like that old style Box Canyon where it's actually boxed in.
Yeah. Not like Hemorrhage. But there would be those moments where you do get sniped over and over by a sniper, and then when you finally got revenge of it, on him, it was so rewarding. It was like tasting victory.
Yep,
in a
just
small battle.
Until he gets a sniper back. Then it's all over again.
Well, that's when you tell your teammates, hey, watch out for this guy. Don't let him get a sniper again.
Yeah, I know.
So it's,
I'm not saying it's
little things
wrong.
Like that.
I mean, that's yeah. I mean, if you're great with a sniper, you deserve to be able to just kill people over and over and over again. But it just gets so frustrating. And that's why I just don't like team snipers. Even though technically in team snipers is a little more fair because everybody's got a sniper. So I mean, if they're way at the back of the map, you can still hit them in the face once and kill them. But
right.
If you're not a sniper,
just don't go into team snipers.
That's what I do. Team snipers has been there. It's a playlist.
It will.
This is like, big team snipers.
Yeah, if you're looking to get better at sniping, it is a way to help. But if you're not that great at sniping, don't expect a very good KD. Yeah. For some of the other stuff matchmaking related, though, we have a new calendar of stuff coming out for the rotational playlist. As you guys are probably aware, we are coming up on the end of what they announced so far. I believe Ninja... I want to say Ninja Assassins was the last one they kind of mentioned in the last rotational playlist update, but they've extended it out to the middle of June now for what their plans are. So as far as matchmaking, we currently are looking at Squad DLC coming out next week. So on March 31st, Squad DLC will be hitting the streets with a community playdate on April 7th. So... we'll get more information on that, I'm sure, probably next week on what their plans are.
Every piece of DLC, right?
So it's going to be a mix played on the Crimson, Castle, and Bullseye map packs. So you won't need...
all of
them? It didn't say Majestic.
Oh, okay. That's...
but if you have Crimson and Castle, then you most likely have Majestic.
Yeah.
Most likely. But no,
The DLC playlist, you know, you get to play the maps that you bought, which generally neither don't get chosen or they just don't even pop up in playlists.
Yeah. You know what map I haven't really played a lot? Vertigo.
Oh, yeah, the one with the shoot
buttons,
the thing and it electrifies everything,
Yeah, pretty much. I haven't played that map that much from the time that the original playlist came out for that map pack. And it's a pretty decent map, too.
I wouldn't know because I haven't played it that much. I played it a couple times. I like the kind of interactive map elements. I like that they brought that back for Vertigo. That's cool.
Yeah, and it's hopefully something that we'll see come back in Halo. Because if there's one thing that people want, or I know I want, and I've seen other people cry out for it, is interactive things or ways that kind of help change the flow of the map a little bit. Things like
I want
gates,
more games
doors,
on Pitfall.
Yeah, if you look at how popular it was on Halo 3, it doesn't really seem to be hitting very much on the playlist in Halo 4. And I think that's majorly due to the fact that not everyone has the Bullseye map pack. So this is going to be the perfect time to get those DLC maps in for gameplay. Hopefully I'll be able to get some time in. The only thing with the time of when that's coming is going to be right in the middle of my move. So I'm not going to have much time to play that at all, unfortunately.
With Squad DLC coming out, it seems like a good time to discount all of the map packs. There's no reason to not do that at this point if you want to make a little extra cash and bring people back into the fold.
That
makes
sense.
Just half off everything. Just cut it all half off.
They did have sales on it during Christmas, I think. Did they?
I mean, all of it, just maybe. I don't keep up with that stuff. But I'm saying, like, right now that they actually have a playlist exclusively for DLC. And we're going into a period of time where there's not a lot of the, you know, gaming news coming out because everybody's saving their stuff up for E3. And it's kind of like a lull in game. I mean, well, people are playing Titanfall. But, I mean, if you're not playing Titanfall, there's really not much else for you to be playing if you're into shooters. So it'd be a good time, you know, just be like, hey, it's all half off. Just, you know, go wild. Play Halo 4 again, please. We Act actually like might you have... care about our franchise, please.
Oh, gosh. I may have some codes to actually give away for the Bullseye Map Pack or the Champions Bundle. I'll have to check my code repository and see if I can give some away. That'll be good, though. Next up on the rotational playlist calendar is going to be Ninja Assassins. More information will probably be coming out in the bulletin from 2 weeks from now. I'm not exactly sure what that is still. I remember them announcing it during the stream last year, and really don't have any idea still of what exactly it's going to be.
Active
Because if
camo.
It's anything like we saw for the Assassination Medal in Metal Madness, it's going to be people invisible, people going to be camping in spots, and it's not going to... It's in my opinion, it'd be a failed playlist.
That was by far the worst round in Metal Madness.
Yeah, because nothing happened.
Most of the time, we would end that round with stalemate, like 0-0. Nobody ever got the Assassination Medal. I mean, if you're in a corner with your back up against the wall, like, they can't get you. They can kill you and you'll respawn, but they ain't going to get the medal for it.
Yeah, they don't get any points because they don't get a medal for it. It's ridiculous.
But, I mean, I think this would be a bit different. I think Ninja Assassins just implies active camo and maybe, like, a sword or something. That's what I'm guessing, but I don't know.
How's that different from Sword Clash or Clash of the Spartans, though? Maybe with active camo. I don't know. It's just one of those custom game types that doesn't really seem to work well in the Halo spectrum of custom games. I mean, it works from a technical perspective, but is it something that really keeps people coming back to it over and over again? Like, we have some game types that we do on Wacky Wednesdays that people love, and that's the reason why we do it over and over again. But I don't see something like this, or at least what I would assume Ninja Assassins to be, as something that people would really hold on to and remember and want to go back and play over and over again. Because we've had a few rotational playlists that have just flopped.
Man, it sure would be nice if they could just, you know, take out Ninja Assassins, we don't know if anybody's going to like, and put in something that we know people really do like, they miss.
Big team with vehicles?
Like, you know, the heavies. Yeah.
Team heavies? Although they did say during the live stream that they were looking at ways to bring big team heavies back into a more permanent spot.
Yeah,
they
also
did say that on the stream.
They say it at the end of the... Or not the end, but in the bulletin too. They say as much.
So hopefully we will see that make a comeback. And I'm pretty sure that we will.
Yeah. The thing is, like, everybody loved it. Just bring it back for a little while longer, you know? Give me a little bit of taste of that vehicle madness that I love so much.
Well, it was to the point where it had more population than Big Team Battle, or Big Team Slayer, Big Team Battle did.
So because it was fun. Everybody loves blowing up vehicles.
Yeah. I mean, it reminded me of the days of Halo 3 when you get to play on Standoff all the time, or Avalanche. I mean, those were fun games.
Yeah.
Gosh, I need to go back and play Halo 3. I haven't done that in several months. Anyways, next up in the... I didn't say this yet, but Ninja Assassin is going to be available on April 14th, so 2 weeks out from the Squad DLC. In May, or starting April 28th technically, is going to be multi-team, so we get to see that back again. Then the next update is going to be Dominion on the 12th of May, so if you want to get your Dominion accommodations again, then you'll be able to play in that. There's going to be a different format with the Dominion this time, though. It's going to be 4-on-4, where I believe last time it was 5-on-5. And there are going to be some new maps and settings to tweak the Dominion experience to kind of help, of course, get your accommodations and medals and all that stuff.
Yeah. You should always choose Shutout every single time.
I'm going to say no on that one. Good try, though.
I enjoyed Shutout on, what was it called? The snowy big map. I always forget the name of it. It was like snowy Longbow or something.
Meltdown.
Yeah, Meltdown. No, the other one. With the... It's got the base in the middle. Both sides. Each side has a Banshee and a Scorpion and a... Just all sorts of stuff.
Are you talking Halo 4?
Yeah, Halo 4. Oh, man.
I can't believe
okay.
I'm blanking.
Yeah, I'll figure this out while we keep talking. I'm just dead air right now. But
okay. I'm usually pretty good with map names. I'm not thinking of this one for some reason, though. Anyways, You find that. I'll finish out the calendar. On May 26th, we're going to get King of the Hill. That'll be coming for that rotation. For this is going to be updated map pool and game variants from what King of the Hill was before. And then after that is to be determined. So we have up until the first week of June covered in what game or what playlist we're going to get in the rotational playlist slot for Halo 4. There's going to be some other matchmaking updates coming down the pipeline as well. For Squads DLC that's coming out next week, it's going to be a mix of DLC only 6v6 Slayer and objective game types. Again, from the Crimson Castle and Bullseye map packs. And there's going to be some mix of some heavy stuff in there as well. They, hopefully. I don't want to see just Mantises. I really don't. I want to see some Wraiths in there. Maybe some tanks.
Yeah. It was Longbow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would make sense. The whole basin, yeah. Okay, that one. Yep. We have some updates coming to multi-team. We already covered that. We covered all that. Never mind. Flood. Oh, we have some updates coming to Flood is what I wanted to hit next. A whole list of new maps made by some of the community cartographers is going to be hitting the Flood playlist. They don't have a date on exactly when this is going to be hitting, but it's going to be hitting sometime soon. I haven't played any of these maps. Well, I think I've played the Fourth Kind, actually. But the list on here is Constellation, Morgan Bay, Plaza, Procedure, Prora, Repository, Substance, the Fourth Kind, Until Now, Villa de Pena, and there's going to be some patches to Payload and Temple. And to the Flood playlist, they're going to be adding the game type Last Stand, which is supposed to be more of a kind of a holdout type thing. So if you remember, I believe there was a custom in Halo 3 where it was actually called Last Stand. So I think it's going to harken back to that kind of style Flood variant. It's basically where it separates off the survivors from the Flood, and they have to hold out for a certain amount of time. And that game type is going to be available on Constellation, Plaza, Repository, and Substance. And there's
a trailer for it.
Yeah, there's a couple of trailers made from the community cartographers that made it by Paints and Sierra 420. So that's up on the bulletin as well if you want to check out what that Last Stand game type is going to be more about. There's going to be a special edition Ricochet playlist coming April 4th through 7th for March Madness. So it's going to be a basketball-themed Ricochet playlist. We've already seen them do it for football. We saw it for the Turkey Bowl, and we saw it for the Super Bowl. So they're kind of going to modify it for basketball stuff. So there was a basketball map that we had that we tried out during one Wacky Wednesday. When Ricochet first came out, when we were looking for Ricochet customs, there was a map on the Griffball court portion of Erosion that we tried. It was pretty interesting. The goals weren't exactly done in a way that you would expect, but this is probably going to utilize more of the throwing goals. That is not as much utilized as the running ones. And I'm still waiting to see some good maps that utilize the separate goals for a run-in and a throw.
Yeah, I don't see the basketball-themed Ricochet like utilizing a run-in. Seems kind of weird.
You could do like a dunk.
Yeah.
But it would be... I'm wondering if it's going to be just like a circle that's going to stand up to where you can throw straight in, or if it's actually going to be some kind of hoop on these maps. So, unfortunately, that's the weekend I move, so I'm not going to have much time to play it, but I'm going to try to play that as much as I can in between my move.
You can save the game types, can't you?
That is true.
So if you need it, you just save it and then bring it back for Wacky Wednesday. Because I always want to play Ricochet during Wacky Wednesday or some variant of it. And we always end up playing like Hogs from Hell or whatever. And like, that's great and all, but I want to play like an actual game type during Wacky Wednesdays sometimes. Just a weird, like actual, where I'm doing something involving my gun firing, you know?
And there's a lot of people that are kind of have that mindset as well. And I've talked to some people before stream, and even something like Sharpshooter, some people don't like as much. They like the custom feel where it's a lot more freeform, not as shooty. So, and that's one thing that I would personally like to see more of Wacky Wednesdays as being kind of a mix between game types that are more normal to Halo and those fun ones. So something that we could possibly maybe try out maps that are Slayer and CTF and Regicide, Extraction, Dominion based. Yeah. That's what I would personally like to see, a good mix of that. But the people like the fun customs, the ones that are just exciting and crazy and all that stuff. I mean, we have Husky Raid. I mean, that's I think as shooty as we get in terms of our custom nights.
Well, I enjoy Husky Raid.
It's insane.
I mean, as far as custom games go, I like Meta Raid better. That was a vast improvement over Meta Raid, in my opinion. But
are you talking about the one that was in the matchmaking playlist?
Yeah, it's still in a Action Sack.
I think I have it saved, actually. We can try it for the next Wacky Wednesday.
So we can actually advance in that, you know, at least get halfway up.
Yeah, there's some places where you can actually hide in little corners and you don't get shot straight from across the map all the time.
In Husky Raid, you can literally, just as long as you spawn with sniper rifle or binary, you know, just, you don't even have to think. You just point your weapon outside the door and fire.
Or fuel rod.
Yeah.
Or rockets or railgun.
Crazy stuff.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's fun.
That was a lot of fun.
It's not that I don't like the Hogs from Heck and all that crazy stuff. It's just, I get tired of the vehicle-based customs sometimes. I like the shooty customs.
I do, too. That's kind of the quintessential Halo custom.
Zombies was a custom.
Yeah, it was. They're actually talking about it in the chat right now. Harkening back to Halo 2, when you actually had to enforce it just on the honor system.
Yep.
Like, if you died, you just switched teams.
Yep.
And they still do that on Halo 2 Vista. Like, there's some, whenever Foundation comes up, it usually turns into a zombie match.
I remember during those matches, like, somebody, like, one guy would never switch. You'd always have that one dude that you'd end up having to kick. You'd be like, switch, switch, go green.
Yeah, and then you get one of your other buddies that are online to come in. Yeah. But it's fun. It's those kind of customs that help build the Halo multiplayer experience. And there are some there's some innovative ones nowadays. They're not as plentiful, but people like Pete the Duck, who just go out of their way to explore the Forge system and to see how crazy it is. I mean, there was something that they just found, well, he just heard about this week, but apparently there's something in the options for Capture the Flag where you can set a neutral, you can set object to a neutral CTF tag, and it'll actually make it invisible, and you can shoot through it, but you can't actually walk through it or drive vehicles through it.
It's like a reverse shield door. You can shoot through it, you just can't walk through it.
Yeah, it's kind of like an invisible wall.
Yeah, that was cool. I saw that video. I can definitely, personally, that's so mind-blowing that I can't imagine what I would use it for, but I'm sure that there are plenty of things that Forgers are ready to utilize that.
Oh, I'm sure too. Like, I couldn't think of all the stuff that you could do with it, but Pete's one of those people that are just going to take that and run with it, and it's like, oh, this is interesting. And we really saw the advent of those kind of customizations for the Forge stuff in the insane game type for Reach. And it's nice to see that some of those options are there for the custom games, and what they're doing with Halo 4 modding, what the modding community has done to those game types is really cool. They aren't banning too many people. They have banned some people for some of the mods that are out there, but they haven't banned people for using stuff like the race game type that we've been using, which is, I think, a good sign, because Halo is more or less benefiting from those kind of things.
I mean,
and then things like Headhunter, but it would be nice to see, just from my personal opinion, it'd be nice to see that more publicly
available.
Publicly available and publicly acknowledged by 343 to the fact that they offer like an API out to integrate into some of the game types. Like, here, these are the things that you can do with the game type. Have fun. Just keep it within your own things. If we see modded content on your file share, then you're going to get banned that way. Like, just make an explicit disclaimer. Don't put it on your file share. If you want to share it with your friends, invite them to a lobby, play the game, and then have them save it locally. Because a lot of people are getting banned by having stuff in their file share. It's not just sharing it over a party. So, It's stuff like that, though, that helps really support the Halo community. And I think it's another avenue that while there's reasons for them to hesitate at the beginning, I think it would be a real benefit to the community to have. And I've talked about that before, and we'll talk about it on future Halo 5 podcasts, I'm sure. But going back to the bulletin, Halo Escalation issue number 4 is out on the street. So for people that are actually going out and buying the comics, you can go and pick that up in a digital format. And I think, it's digital and print format that you can get from Dark Horse. So we're not going to cover it again until we have the full thing out, and we still have some more of the Halo books to actually cover. So we'll address all of those once we get there. Sorry, guys. My bad. And then finally, we have the screenshot spotlight.
I take it back. This is my favorite part of the show.
Well, it's part of the bulletin.
Well, yeah. But this is my favorite part of the bulletin, so this is ultimately the favorite part of the show.
Fair enough. I like out of the ones here. Oh, sorry. The theme is Haven, so it's all screenshots on Haven. And I'm going to say for my favorites, Starry Dreams by Vexing Lotus 941, Unrecognized by Master Wawu, and Shadow of a Doubt by Top Sniper 707. Those are going to be my favorites.
I like Haven 4 by Mr. Martini 85. And Shadow of a Doubt by Top Sniper 707. The only reason I like Halo 4, or Halo 4, Haven 4, is just that grenade throwing animation. Like, you can see the fingers moving, like throwing up a peace sign, kind of.
Peace, dude.
What's up, bro?
Yeah, just kind of like that. What's up, dude?
Yo, mate. Taxi.
Fetch. So, yep. Decent screenshots for this week. I don't see any Receptor 17 on there, though. Wah, wah. Anywho, we are going to have him on the show at some point to talk about screenshots and forging stuff.
Havenly Descent was one of your picks, right?
Which one?
The cartoonish one by Drax Sonya?
No, that was not.
Okay, I just want to mention that one then. Havenly Descent by Drax Sonya. It's got a real kind of cartoonish quality to it. Just looking at the kind of thumbnail they got for the screenshots, it looks like a cartoon, kind of. It's cool.
Since someone requested that, I'm putting the screenshots on the stream. But yeah, it's there's some other ones that we've had in the screenshot spotlight that I've liked a little bit more. But as far as I can see for which one you said, Haven 4 and what was your other one?
Shadow of a Doubt by Top Sniper 707.
The Shadow of a Doubt is it. I mean, again, it's red versus blue kind of thing, and that kind of thing is really cool to me.
That Prefect armor, man.
Yeah, well, not so much the armor, but just the effects on there is really cool.
Well, I mean, you get this big old like jewel on the front of the mask. It really, you know,
yeah, that's really
the red versus blue deal.
Yeah. Anyways. So we're going to actually do something that we haven't done in a little while, and that is submissions. You guys thought they were gone, but they're not. Believe it or not. So for those who don't know or have maybe found us more recently, we typically do submissions, but, due to just how inactive people are on Halo, we don't get that many that often, but we have enough now that we want to address them. So we have people email us via submissions@podtacular.com or using our submit your stuff button at our website. And we're going to read some of those now. Brent, do you still have that chat?
Yes, I'm pulling it up right now.
All right, cool. Because that's where I posted. I didn't do the whole fancy whiteboard this week.
Got it. So you want to pull the first one or me, or I'll go ahead and do it.
You can go ahead and do it, sure.
Griffith 050 says, "Hey, Podtacular dudes, you asked us to give our take on the future of Halo. Speaking for myself, I've always been intrigued by a good story. I'm one of those, I can't watch that new movie because I haven't seen the first three Parentheses. Thus, I've never seen Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, or played Final Fantasy. I know lame, right? In parentheses. But the Halo franchise has provided me a phenomenal story that gets better with every different author, designer, etc. I started out as a multiplayer guy and was for years, still am, and I do admit that there are some things in the franchise that I miss from 2005 when you got to play with 15 of your buddies at a LAN. But I've fallen in love with the stories contained in the universe. One of my favorite short stories ever is Midnight in the Heart of Midlothian. Michael Baird being an all-time favorite character of mine. Stories like that keep me coming back, and while I know Halo is a product, and if you can't sell a product, then you don't make a product, Halo is not going anywhere. They could stop making games and media today, and we would still be here playing, talking, enjoying Halo for years to come. I'm excited about the future of Halo and can't wait to continue my quest with all of you all of you wonderful Halo-ites. Lol, keep fragging. Griffith050.
So for those that don't know, he was the guy that made second place in our little Halo community giveaway.
Yep.
So cool stuff. Thanks for writing in, Griffith. Yeah, some pretty cool stuff in here for the whole story. That he was talking about behind the Halo franchise. The Halo story, I think, is one of the really cool things about the Halo universe. Just everything that contributes to it. The books, the TV series, the other external fiction in there. And then, of course, he mentioned doing the whole LAN party thing. That was one of the best times I had in college, was during freshman and sophomore year, going over to the freshman dorm and having like a LAN party every 3 or 4 weeks on Halo or Halo 2. It was so much fun.
Oh, yeah. It's classic. I imagine, well, I mean, maybe not. There's always going to be a local area. There's always going to be a demand for local area network play in multiplayer games. But I think it's kind of going to fade out over time as, online games become increasingly more popular. I mean, they're already super duper popular, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, LANing was kind of a thing of necessity. Like, I mean, it's cool that you're all there in the same place. Like, that's you can't replicate that experience. But it was also because if you wanted to play with a bunch of people, you had to get a LAN going. Like, you could all play, you know, on your one Xbox, but then it's like four people on one split screen, and you can't have more than four. So if you wanted to actually get up to 16, you had to have four Xboxes hooked up. That was just what you had to do if you wanted the full 16 players. But I mean, even with Halo 2, you could see the LAN community kind of shrinking a little bit, but there's always going to be room for LAN parties, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, good stuff.
Hopefully when I move, I'll have plenty of space to do LAN parties. At least I'm hoping so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't locate it.
I'm guessing the Midnight in the Heart of Midlothian is one of the short story in the Halo Evolutions books. So I haven't read those yet. That's going to be one of the books I read after we go through the rest of the Kilo 5 and the Forerunner trilogy. So I'll have to read that. Unless someone in the chat actually knows what that story is about, which I don't. but he makes a good point. And I think we've addressed... I can't remember if we talked or briefly touched on this last year or not. But if they stop making games and media right now, we would still be playing Halo for years on end because it's Halo and it's a vast universe. And there'd be people making machinima, there'd be people making live action skits and movies, and the Halo community would still thrive for a good while afterwards. I think that's one of the strong points of Halo that not many other games have.
Yep. Halo's popularity was, I mean, it started in LANs. That is your heritage. Yeah. That's your Halo heritage as far as multiplayer goes.
I mean, that was a precursor to Xbox Live.
So where your daddy played.
Back in my day, you had to go over to your friends to play together. You couldn't just stay in your own house and play online. You had to take a trip, and you liked it.
Well, that's true. Like, nowadays, you just get online. You don't got to have any friends. Get a full party of 16 going.
Yeah.
Back then, if you didn't have any friends, no LAN party for you.
One of the other things about LAN parties, though, is that whenever someone does kill you or you just completely rock somebody, you can just scream across the room. It's like, in your face!
Yep.
And it has much more meaningful impact than just hearing someone say it over chat.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you have that physical presence of someone there, and just having someone yell across the room, it brings you goosebumps just thinking about it. But so the next one we have is from Crimson Viper. Actually, I'm not sure if you want to read this, because he addresses you.
Yeah, I mean, it's up to you if you want to read it. It's long.
It's a little long.
I can
long.
Do it, but Crimson Viper is a veteran podtacular listener.
Indeed he is.
Active back in the days when I was active in the podtacular IRC channel. So
hopefully to come soon.
Yeah, it was kind of a surprise to see this submission. Crimson Viper says, I will
let you read it then.
Okay. Crimson Viper says, "Hey Brent, what's up? I've been tuning in once in a while. But yeah, this news of Halo 2 being potentially back is awesome. I seriously can't wait to play Halo 2 again. I couldn't get Halo 2 Vista working on my Windows 7 laptop. So in the meantime, I've been genuinely considering making Halo 2 on Source Engine, which if anyone wants to make, I can make maps. I might actually continue since it's apparently very probably going on Xbox One. I really don't like Microsoft using Halo and specifically Halo 2 to sell their latest product. Halo 3, mentioned later, games for Windows and now Xbox One. Because it's a finger to the fans, no matter how you put it, since any game changes probably can't justify A, buying an Xbox One, and B, not just turning on the Halo 2 servers. It seems like there are some major burning issues we need to be aware of. One, 343 have to make sure that they don't lose money or attention on Halo 5. I know it won't sit well being tasked with remaking a game that will take profits from their main title, but I also know 343 was founded by guys who were there on Halo 2 and know to honor their legacy. So this point pales in comparison to the next. Point number two, Microsoft's pressure to put it out on Xbox One to sell units. I think that if they release it on Xbone, they'll pull the same thing again. They'll remove support for Halo 2 Anniversary once Halo 6 comes out and force all the players onto the new one, like Halo 2's servers being closed down with Halo 3. I know we can rely on Microsoft and 343 to not take a 10-year-old Xbox, original Xbox game and use it to justify selling the gamers a hyper-advanced new console. Wink. But yeah, either way, it's probably coming out on Xbone since they took down the servers on the backwards compatible original Halo 2 disc, which likely aren't going to be put back up. So ironically, Halo 2 might end up being used as the thing that sells the Xbox One, and a pretty up version of it will sell the Xbox 3 at launch too. Lastly, point three, 343 wanted to personalize slash upgrade it. Yeah, if there's any changes to the movement speed or even and especially the viewing radius, which I know they'll want to alter, I will find JVB and make him go Terminator on 343 Industries.
Sorry, I couldn't help but laughing at that one.
The JVB, the Podfather. I could see him going crazy on 343, taking him down a notch. I doubt it, but I'm reading again, so just let people know I'm not talking. Hey, I doubt it, but I really am holding out for button combos, super bouncing, and getting out of the map in custom games. Number one thing I love doing in Podtacular in the Halo 2 days. I would love to see them find their way in the game again. So yeah, in short, graphics might attract new fans, but if you start ignoring your old Halo 2 fan base, you're in for some trouble when Halo 2 Anniversary becomes Halo 4.5, or nobody buys an Xbox One in spite of the fact that Halo 2 Anniversary came out on it, because they found a different way to play it, i.e. Halo 2, Xbox Live Connect, or some mod, or wasn't worth it. My quick solution, release Halo 2 Anniversary on Xbox One, and make the old Halo 2 work on the same servers. Signed, Crimson Viper, my alias came before the Street Fighter character.
So, as far as bringing the older servers back online, doubt they're going to do that. I would think if they're going to do some kind of networking rewrite, it would be to the current Xbox Live system for the Xbox One. Now, if granted, you could do something where it comes out on the 360 and the One, because the 360 is technically a new generation for Halo 2, because Halo 2 came out on the original Xbox. So if they wanted to hit a wider fan base, I think doing it on both sides would be kind of good, but at the same time, it would require additional dev cost and manpower to work on two separate builds of a game. So it would probably just end up on the Xbox One at this point.
Yep.
There's some chat going on in the Twitch stream right now. Apparently, it was just announced a little bit earlier that Kinect for the Kinect 2 for Windows has been announced, and they're talking about next Halo on Xbox One better with Kinect, and everyone's like, nope.
Actually, Kinect is way better on PC than that ever was on Xbox in terms of people doing cool stuff with it.
Oh yeah, you should like some of the stuff with. I mean, one of the big things for the Kinect was medical implications, being able to rotate models and do all that stuff, and it really has a good application for computers. It really does. So it is good to see that they're coming out with Kinect for the PC. Granted, I don't use my Kinect for the Xbox that much, except I think the only commands the biggest commands I use is Xbox on, Xbox turn off, and now unsnap party. That's about it. That's about the extent to which I use my Kinect. Oh, and to auto sign in, because you can't choose a default profile to sign in whenever you have the Xbox One. I'm waiting for that to be fixed in an update. But that's literally the extent I use my Kinect. So.
Just the stuff people come up with for Kinect on PC is just mind-blowing.
And it's a powerful tool. It really is.
And assuming that, you know, Kinect 2 is a much more powerful version of Kinect, then I can see the applications becoming even crazier on the PC.
Hands down. But imagine being able to use that for Skype. You don't have to have an Xbox One. You can use your computer for Skype.
Yeah.
I personally think Kinect for the PC is a better peripheral than Kinect for the Xbox. Because you can do so much more with it outside of just gaming and general interactions with your console. Because that's a limited platform where your desktop and your PC is unlimited. You can do so much with that. So I'm excited for that. I don't know if I'll take time to develop anything for it, but it would be cool to have Kinect on the PC.
Yeah. That's where it should have been. Should have just made Kinect for the PC and just put it on there instead of making the X-Bone more expensive than it needed to be.
The Kinect should have come as an option. It shouldn't come required with all consoles. That, in my opinion, that was probably the top thing that has made Microsoft lose the quote-unquote console war, is the fact that their price is $100 more primarily because of the Kinect.
Yep.
And I have arguments constantly with people where Kinect is not something that should be required. It's not something that a lot of the gamers are going to need, except for the people that are going to be using that for things like Just Dance and Xbox Fitness. But not everyone's going to use that. I mean, if you look at the big population of people that play games, it's people that play first-person shooters, play racers, or they stick to a certain genre. And a lot of genres in gaming don't require that motion control, that person controller. I mean, look at Titanfall. Titanfall doesn't use the Kinect at all. And it's a fantastic game. It's one of the best games I've played since Halo 3, Halo Reach. It's a lot of fun. And I come back to it because it is just a very well done game, which is why we had a 3-hour long podcast about it last week. And that doesn't require Kinect. So it should have been a peripheral, but enough of that. Next submission we have here is from Sniper Hippo. He writes in, "Hey, Podtacular, I just want to start off by saying I love the show and keep up the great work. I have two separate questions for you today. First, do you plan on doing any more Halo Extended Universe, comics, books, etc. podcasts anytime soon? Second, also, is there any features that you would like to see in Halo 5 that we have not previously seen in a Halo title before? Thanks for reading." As far as the podcast for the Extended Universe, the comics and the books, yes. I said that a little bit earlier on the show, but we are planning on doing that. Like I said, we're going to do Primordium probably at the end of April, if not the beginning of May, after I do a little read up on the synopsis and get my bearings for that book again. And I will do my best effort after I move, after PAX, and after being done with the Halo Mole to schedule the rest of those in a timely manner. And then for features that we would like to see in Halo 5 that we currently haven't seen anywhere in the Halo universe before. That's hard to say, because right now a lot of people are looking to go back to some of the core aspects and elements of Halo, where diving into something new is going to be very shaky ground, I think, for 343. I think they need to really focus on gaining the trust back in the core audience of Halo and the the way to do that is going to be looking at some of the older systems, seeing what's in those, and not messing with those systems as much. I have to sit down and think about what I would want to see in Halo 5 for a long time. And maybe we haven't done one of these in a while either. Maybe we should post that as the question of the week for our listeners. So here's some little homework for you guys and for you guys to submit in. You can either email us, use the big green button on the website, or you can leave us a voicemail at 240-200-HALO. What features would you like to see in Halo 5 that haven't been in any previous Halo title? It could be some new feature. It could be from a game like Titanfall. Maybe it's something where you can actually walk underwater. Because apparently Chief can survive, or Spartans can survive in space, but they can't swim.
Nope, the Oceanic can. Fun fact, Oceanic armor makes you swim. Even though it's just
heavy. Have you gone on the Forge Island and made sure that you can actually swim?
Well, no, you can't really swim, but lore-wise. Lore-wise.
Well, lore-wise, yeah.
But just the idea of a Spartan being in, like, deep water is amusing to me for some reason. Swimming Spartans. Because technically they should just, like, not float at all. Just sink like a rock.
Yeah, but
I imagine the suit has, like, some sort of,
survive.
Like, it would be like it would be like a personal submersible vehicle. It'd be like your own little submarine.
I figured if a suit can, I mean, I know it's like opposite pressure, but a suit can withstand no pressure, the vastness of space. It should be able to suit to withstand some pressure underwater. Because if you look at the suits that the astronauts go out in, it's the same suits that they use underwater as they do in space. So, in theory, it should work. I'm going to read the next one since you already read two, Brent. This is from Hayden, and he says, "Hey guys, awesome cast, and Halo is awesome. Cannot wait for Halo 5. Just wanted to drop by and let you know of a little comedy machinima project my friend and I are working. Occasionally we will release a comedic Halo 4 machinima sketch on Sunday called Sunday Shorts. Our latest video spoofs the popular Frozen Let It Go song. Here's the link." So that link will be in the show notes, and I will need to watch the video.
Let it go, let it go.
It's a good movie, by the way.
I haven't seen it. I haven't even listened to the song in its entirety.
Well, the song's on YouTube. You can find that.
Oh, yeah, that's a personal choice. I mean, that was just me, like, saying, yep, I know this is popular, I just don't care. Oh. Like, I heard a little bit of the song, and I'm like,
screw you.
I don't understand why it's so popular. I mean, it's an okay song, but I'm missing something here on...
If you watch the movie as a whole, it's a lot more meaningful. And if you take the lyrics of the song, it's actually kind of sad.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Not to burst anyone's bubbles there that loves Frozen, because I love Frozen, and the song's great. But that's actually all the submissions that we have. We didn't have any voicemails, but hopefully this question of the week will help generate some traffic, too. And once I get the forms up... We'll be able to take some topics from there as well and kind of address the community in a little more of a direct light instead of having people send us stuff in. But on the off chance that you do want to send some stuff into us, again, you can send it to us via email to submissions@podtackler.com, or you can click the big green Submit Your Stuff button at the top of our webpage. And if you want your voice to actually be heard on the show, you can call our voicemail, which is 240-200-HALO. That's 240-200-4256. And leave a message that way. 90 seconds is about the right length to leave if you want to call in and leave your Halo stories, Halo tips, Halo tales from the foxhole, since we haven't done that in such a long time. So anything that you want to kind of address to us in terms of anything Halo-related, Xbox-related, feel free to shoot it to us. We'd love to talk about it. We'd love to read it out in the show, and we'd love to hear from you.
I just realized that Fails of the Week is probably the ultimate version of Tales from the Foxhole.
Well, there are some things that we got in Tales from the Foxhole in the past that were just epic wins.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, just epic wins. I mean, but a lot of the stories were just, you know, crazy stuff happening.
It was.
And, I mean, Fails of the Week isn't always just complete failures. It's...
Not always. There's the occasional win in there.
I really enjoy Fails of the Week. I don't know why. I always wonder, have I ever been on there? I'd have to go back and watch every single one of them and, like, make sure to watch every single clip very, very closely. And even then, I'm not sure you could know whether or not it was really you.
Well, they put up the gamer tag in the video of who they're showing.
I thought it was only who they submitted. Like, who submitted that clip. Like, that the clip submitted by so-and-so.
That's true. But if you... I mean, you'd be able to go through those names, and then if you recognize the name, then you would know to look.
No, I mean, like, what if I was just in matchmaking with some... I mean, I've played with a bunch of different gamer tags that I don't know, and then they sent a clip of me getting failed.
Yeah, that's going to be nearly impossible.
Failing
someone
else.
Unless you remember your armor permutation from way back when the episode was airing, which, for me, it's... Well, for Halo 4, it's been pretty standard. It's the Mark 4... or no, sorry, not Mark 4. Mark 6 armor, the Master Chief armor, then the Tracker Visor. And I actually just changed that recently to the purple-blue one.
I like my Oceanic helmet with the Circuit... Not Circuit. Was it? Yeah, it is Circuit. Oceanic
circuit
armor.
Yep, it's Circuit.
Because I pre-ordered at Walmart. And the only reason I did that was for the armor, because I knew that it was exclusive. And I'm like, who else is going to pre-order at Walmart? Because otherwise, the entire point of pre-ordering at Walmart is dumb. They're always going to have a ton of copies up there. So it was exclusively for that. So for a while, like, I was one of the few, very few people with the Oceanic Circuit mask, at least. I never wore the full armor, just the helmet. So that was cool. Made me feel special.
Cool.
Special snowflake.
I'm a originalist, unfortunately, so... No. Or, well, not necessarily unfortunately, but I like the Mark VI. I like whatever Master Chief's wearing.
Yeah.
Call me a copycat.
I've got the Oceanic helmet right now, Ranger, torso, and I think Ricochet pads for the shoulders. Pretty sure I
still got to rock out the Ricochet. All right.
Ricochet! I love the fact that we basically have a football helmet in Halo now.
A lot of people like that. Speaking of Ricochet, we're still in the middle of our Ricochet Hub first season. Not going as well as we had hoped. Some teams are not showing up to play their games, and some teams are just like not, we can't even get a hold of them. But we're trying to push through as much as possible. Hopefully get the season out the door and at least have some amount of success and have a good amount of teams that are playing. If any of you guys are listening and you're part of Ricochet Hub, I encourage you to play your games. And if you're not a team captain, get with your team captain. Or if you can't get a hold of your team captain, then get hold of some of the staff over there and get some stuff moving, get some stuff shaking. Because we want Ricochet Hub to be, well, not necessarily Ricochet Hub, but Ricochet to be successful. Because look at how successful Griffball is. And look at how much fun people have playing Ricochet. So it can get there. Just need people to come and play some Ricochet.
Ricochet Hub at RTX 2016, maybe? Or not 2016, 2015? Maybe, possibly?
Maybe. It doesn't have much of a tie with Rooster Teeth, though, because Griffball was started by Rooster Teeth.
Yeah, but Ricochet was announced at RTX last year. I was there. I remember.
That is true. That's very true.
I'm just saying. I mean, I know Griffball was... Griffball Hub was a red versus blue thing, but I don't see why you couldn't involve... I mean, the whole point of RTX is to bring together all these, you know, mainly Halo communities, but also just general gaming communities. I mean, there's no reason why Ricochet Hub couldn't have some place up at RTX. If it were popular.
Child of Oblivion just put Soshi Ricochet. I don't think Ricochet was one of the things that was played in the Soshi Olympics. At least I didn't see it. As far as what we have for tonight, I think that covers it. Again, we're going to do some of the Halo 5 shows after I move, and after PAX, we'll pick up those. I already have some guests that are interested in coming on. It's just a matter of getting stuff scheduled and making sure that we have enough topics to cover. And we'll have enough topics. It's just a matter of writing out all the topics, getting a schedule of stuff to talk about, and making sure that we kind of stick on target. Because I know for a lot of people that we have on the show, we tend to go on tangents and tend to cover a lot of things. These shows are hopefully will be a little bit more structured in the sense that whenever we talk about a certain topic, we'll stick to that as closely as possible. And amongst those, we will incorporate the books and just the general waypoint updates. We'll include those every week as well. And any rumors, leaks that come out too. And it would be really nice to have some audio bits for that. I may have to talk to Cruel Legacy or Ling Thomas and see if they're interested in providing us some introductory section tunes or something like that. So we'll see what happens. But thank you everyone for coming out. I think we had about 10, 11 people at one point, and we had some people come in and out during the stream. So thank you guys for tuning in. We record our show live every Thursday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Twitch TV. And you can also find us on our website, podtacular.com. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube as well. Although we don't have too much stuff going up on the YouTube channel right now, but it does exist. We do have some stuff up there. Make sure you check out our Customs Night on Wednesdays. It's called Wacky Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time as well. We have myself and Godzilla Todd, who's been running the lobbies. So you can usually send an invite or a message over requesting an invite, and you will get invited. We haven't had too many cases where we've had to split lobbies, but in the case that we do, we can usually split it up all right. But come join the fun. If you want to play some Halo, if you want a reason to play Halo on a weekly basis, do that. Remember, you can send your stuff in, submissions at podtacular.com, the big green button, or the voicemail as well. I believe that covers it. Brent, any last words?
No. It's good to be back, though. I like recording. You can tell at the beginning of the show, I was kind of clammed up. It happens.
Aww.
Out of that groove, you got to get back in it, but it's like riding a bicycle. You know, you just get back on, might wobble around a little bit at first, but
bicycle.
We get going real quick.
Bicycle. Anyways. Well, thank you, Brent, for making your comeback. So it was kind of sucky that we had to miss you last week, but it wasn't too bad because it was Titanfall and you don't have your hands on Titanfall yet, but hopefully when you do, you will have a fun time with it.
I hope so. That's the one thing that, like, nowadays, if there's any game that I think that I'm possibly going to enjoy, I just try not to get any information on it, except for Halo, because I have to talk about Halo on the podcast.
Yeah.
But I've just noticed...
It's Halo.
Going in just clean, like, completely fresh, it's a completely different experience than when I know everything about a game going in, or, like, a bunch about a game going in. So, this would be one instance where I've kept myself completely media blackout, like no information about Titanfall at all. I thought it had single player until the other day. I was like, what? Like, huh? It's multiplayer only? Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah. I'm going to suppose I'm free. You play with Titans.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I... Really?
You're supposed to overreact, dude.
I know.
Anyways, thank you guys for tuning into our show. We'll see you guys next week. As always, well, I'm going to say this. I'm going to do a little different this week. Keep on steaming trucks, since we're talking about steam in Halo.
Keep on fragging. I don't know. There's nothing to frag this week. Playlist updates. Calendar updates.
Sure.